Hey, welcome. This is the international version of The Disciplined Investor with your host, Andrew Horowitz. How are you? If you listened to my last podcast, you realize that I was on a plane to Russia, Moscow, in fact, landing in there for a few days to spend some glorious time looking at just the most amazing architecture and seeing some of the most unbelievable castles that you've ever seen or will ever see, probably in our lifetimes. The Russians have an amazing way of spending money with gold-gilded walls and incredible jewels, the diamond mine in St. Petersburg and Moscow and the museums throughout. It's just a remarkable, remarkable civilization throughout time. The Russian czars, the emperors, the rulers, the kingdom of Russia has really, really utilized their materials that they have absolutely naturally in Russia to just create some amazing, amazing things. And I got to tell you, I was totally blown away. The experience that I had in Red Square was some of the most amazing ooh and ah moments that I think I've ever had in traveling. And I think I've traveled quite a bit. Each summer I spend some time going around Europe or Asia or somewhere just amazing to find just those worldly places that can give me a new experience, a new look into what's happening around the world. I do it for pleasure, but I also do it for business. I want to find out what the new trends are. And we're going to talk about that today. Talk about some of the trends I found traveling through Copenhagen, where I'm coming to you right now from. And we're going to talk about Russia, Moscow, St. Petersburg. I'm going to tell you about my travels throughout Norway, Bergen, and a little bit of an upcoming. I'm getting on a plane today going to Brussels. So if you want to travel along with me, here we go. The Disciplined Investor is coming to you right now.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager.
All right, so welcome to Copenhagen. It's a city that is considered the world hub for Europe, or the international hub at least, for Europe. Many of the flights in and out of Europe really originate here and go to many other places throughout the continent. It's a meeting place. It's a place to really stop over and spend some time. I took the opportunity to do so with my wife, and we had a great time. We wandered through Tivoli Gardens, which is supposedly the inspiration for Disney's theme parks. There was all sorts of little rides and a tremendous gallery of opportunities to win all sorts of prizes. Great eateries along the way, and I got to tell you, just a cute, beautiful experience. And I say cute because it was miniaturized compared to what we see in the United States, the huge rides, etc., but just quaint as can be and just simply marvelous. Copenhagen also is not the cleanest of towns. I should share with you that I was a little bit discouraged walking through the main squares and finding an incredible amount of just cigarette butts and filth everywhere compared to the cities that I've been before the last few days, which were just remarkably clean. Copenhagen was a bit of a disappointment, not to mention the fact that service is questionable here at best. While there's many people that will help you because the language that everyone does speak here is English for the most part, the taxi drivers are not those that you want to really get involved with. I've asked two different taxi drivers for a ride somewhere, and they pretty much said they don't want to do it. And that's an experience we've had throughout Europe, particularly in Moscow. But you would think that's because maybe they weren't making that much money. But a simple two-minute taxi drive will cost the equivalent of about $20 to $25 US. So with that aside, we found that Copenhagen was a brilliant city with a lot of beautiful architecture. One of the things that I will tell you about Copenhagen that I found very, very interesting was that this not only is the center, but the airport is something that you want to stay away from. The airport in Copenhagen is probably the worst experience I've ever had. While it is beautiful, while it has inlaid wood floors, while it has just an incredible amount of restaurants and stores to shop, of course, extremely expensive, the lines, the crowds, the luggage, which we did lose one luggage for a day and a half here, is just something you don't have to deal with. For whatever reason, they don't have their act together, or maybe we can chalk it up to the fact that there was this giant concert in town over this weekend, an 8-day, 9-day festival with The Who and Red Hot Chili Peppers and all sorts of bands in a remote village. They call it Rockslide. And in Rockslide, there is the ability to tent out for 8 or 9 days, kind of like a Woodstock. And how you would know who went there was by the mud on their overall bodies. Most of them wore these special, I guess you'd call them rain boots, that would keep their feet dry because the mud was probably up to their ankles or higher everywhere they walked throughout the concerts. And this is an ongoing thing annually. It seems that it rains quite a good amount, and the area that they put these concerts is all mud. I guess somehow making it fun for those that are attending. Everybody said that it was an amazing time that I bumped into, but everywhere in Copenhagen is now filthy, full of the crackling mud off of these rain boots. But nonetheless, Copenhagen was an interesting area. One of the things that I did find in Copenhagen was that the overall pricing here is extremely high. Very few Americans that we did bump into because the dollar is in such disarray right now. But you know, what we did find was that it's probably the most international of all the cities that I've witnessed. But here's what I want to tell you about what I have found so far here. One of the things that I've been on the lookout is some of the infiltration, if you will, in a positive way, of much of the U.S. brands and U.S. overall products in Europe. So let's start with Moscow for a moment. Moscow, of course, as we know, has after Perestroika, there was the ability for the people in Russia to open up their doors and allow people in, as well as allow people out of Russia. Some people took the opportunity to leave. Many, many people stayed. Still, the major amount of problems that were in Russia have been reducing, but there's still approximately about a 40% unemployment rate throughout Moscow. Now, in my travels, I also found that an incredible amount of discussion about the political environments and how the rich are the rich and the poor are the poor. There's really a class system in Russia. The ability to really find out about Russia is very difficult because, as the Russian people have told me, this is not something I am saying, there is a tremendous amount of corruption when it comes to the government, political but more economic corruption. If you're in the government, you have the opportunity to make a tremendous amount of money. That's why when we walked around the city and we were amazed to see the pricing in the GUM, the department store in Moscow inside of Red Square, or looking around at the houses and the opulence, and then versus the one block over, when you drive through the villages, you find relative poverty. And what we're finding is this class system where they have the haves and the have-nots, and that's why people do not want to pay their taxes because they know it's going to corrupt government. People do not want to get involved in anything if they have to give money because they know they're never going to get it back. This happened several times over the last 25, 30 years where people did give to a retirement system and then never found anything to get any money back because it was stolen by the government after a collapse. There was a tremendous amount of growth and a boom happening in Russia, though. And again, you have to question where that's coming from if there is this class system. But there was very little, really any products I saw except for one, Ford. Ford is considered an excellent car in Russia. They have a Russian plant. I met some Ford employees, and they are explaining to me that the Ford Escort in particular, the Ford Taurus, are totally different cars than are in America. They're on different chassis, they're different engines, and they're considered a top-line car. They also acknowledge that they feel that the opposite, the U.S.-based Ford, is not a quality car. So you have to take that and understand that to mean that there is a difference there. The second thing that I found very, very interesting when it came to the Russian area was that cigarettes are extraordinarily cheap, about $1.50 per pack, whereas in Copenhagen, for example, they're about $8 per pack. In addition, in Russia, gasoline is relatively cheap. Don't forget, Russia has every material. If you put a wall around Russia entirely, there is nothing that they could need. They don't need any kind of natural materials. They don't need any kind of meats or any kind of foods. They can do everything on their own. While there's a significant area of cold, there is a significant area of warm. The continent is so rich with natural materials, if you will, and natural resources for every aspect of life that they could survive on their own forever. And Russia has done that for some time, but things are changing now. There is not a big influx of American items. It's much more European in Russia. American items still have not moved over to there. And what you have found is it is a much different society, a much different retail environment. It's extremely high-end when it comes to the stores, or very, very common. So when I look at the Russian environment, while there is the opportunity for growth and investment and the infrastructure growth there, the one thing that I did notice, which was time and time again throughout Europe, the one thing that seemed consistent and continuous was the incredible high level of functionality of their telephones. Most of them have cell phones that are, you know, the top line that we would find in the U.S., number one being Nokia. I think Nokia, we have to look at that as a very, very viable stock right now, because I think that we're seeing the expansion of cell phones to a great degree with the high end edge or even the 3G environment for cell phone technology. So I think that when I look at every single store that I went to that has technology or electronics in Europe, the one thing you notice every time when I talk to a shop owner is Nokia, Nokia, Nokia. There are many other brands here, but Nokia is the one that everybody has walking around. We talked about the iPhone a bit, and they're pretty excited, but some countries don't even have the infrastructure that would support it. Norway tells me that there's no way that the iPhone will even be something that they can have in Norway due to the fact that the infrastructure of the Norwegian telephone system, the cellular telephone system, will not support the iPhone at all. There'll have to be either significant changes to the iPhone, which doesn't seem likely, or there'll be significant changes to the Norwegian cell phones, which is also very unlikely. So when I look at the overall environment in Russia, I don't see anything that could really benefit us, because right now with the corruption and all that, who knows? I just don't think that's something that we can really benefit from at the moment. It's not something that I would say is within the risk spectrum of something that I would want to participate in. All right, let's take a quick break. I'm going to bring you the rest of the information. I have a couple things on Crocs, on Apple, and on Nokia. I want to tell you more about from the Netherlands and Denmark, and then tell you what I think is going to be happening and some of the stock market issues that we see on this side when I look at the newspaper, when I look at the television from CNN World or BBC World, and some of the newspapers that are showing some information here about the politics in America from a different side. So stick around just a minute. In a moment, the international version of the Disciplined Investor is coming back really quickly.
If you like what you hear, we want to know. Go to our show's listing on either iTunes or your favorite podcast directory and leave us feedback and a rating. The more feedback we have, the higher our position on the charts. Think of it as the price of admission. It only takes a minute and helps us understand more about what interests you. Keep our blog and podcast popular, and we'll keep providing you with great investment ideas.
All right, let me give you a heads up about a couple of things, by the way. We're back here in Copenhagen. And number one, I want to let you know that in the next two or three podcasts, we have coming some really great things. Number one, we have Barry Ritholtz, who is he's a great writer. He's just a brilliant mind. He's the number one blogger from what I've seen all over the place. And we've been talking about a lot of things over the last few weeks. And I think that it's going to be very interesting, give you a really good insight into a few different, not only products that he has that he's bringing to the markets right now, but some of the things that he's talking about and the direction of blogging and finance. And the second thing is, we've confirmed that Harry Dent, who wrote The Great Boom Ahead, is going to be here talking with us soon. I think this is a great precursor, this particular podcast, talking about some of the trends, because he's all about trends. What's going to be happening in the future, how it's going to really pan out in the future for the U.S., looking at not only the economy, but the economy based on population growth and expansion. And I think he's going to have a lot to say about the rest of the world, not only the U.S., and it's going to be pretty exciting. The other thing I want to mention to you, as I mentioned in the last podcast, and many of you have written me, number one, again, we're getting just an overwhelming amount of people who want to take the day trading course. If you want to take the day trading course, go on to our website, thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Click on over to the mailbox. You'll see it on the right-hand side of the page, right on the homepage, and you can sign up right there and request to be included. Now, we closed out of the last one, and Fausto Puglisi, who was the one running that, was just overwhelmed by as many people that wanted to attend this. So it's totally free. And if you want to do so, just go over there and sign up. In addition to that, as I told you, July 30th, looks like the book will be available. If you want to pre-order, because the pre-orders will get a couple of special things. Number one, you'll get the first copies of the book, The Disciplined Investor, coming to the bookshelves directly shipped from me. I will also personally sign it for you. And if you want that, please do me a favor, head on over to the same place, and you can, in the drop-down box, it talks about pre-ordering The Disciplined Investor book. And just say, yeah, I want to pre-order. It's going to be $14.95, but we're just going to put you in a queue so that you'll be able to get a copy as soon as it comes off before they run out, the first printing. So if you want to do so, head on over there now. And just an interest inquiry, if you will, just saying that, yeah, I want to pre-order so we can get a good count going. All right. So again, in Copenhagen, and let's talk about a couple of things. Hey, one of the things that I noticed was that, you know, I've been talking about this for a while now because it's been a really interesting play, and this is the whole idea of Crocs. You know, those really ugly shoes that I've written about that a lot of people have just totally bashed me about. They said, you know, you're crazy, Crocs is just going up forever, etc. Well, without getting into that ad nauseum and wasting time, Here's the point. The point is that, you know, I'm on the lookout. I look around as I travel to what the fashion statements are, what's happening, what's not happening, etc. I told you that you look around, you'll find Nokia everywhere. N-O-K is the symbol, and I think that's an interesting play. I'm going to come back on a blog post with some more information when I get back about the ins and outs, the technical, the fundamentals about Nokia, and see if that's a wise idea. But I think more importantly, I look at things like Crocs again and look at the retail area. You know, anything U.S. is always exciting in Europe. But Crocs, it's not been so exciting. Russia, why Russia? Russia probably wouldn't be a big buyer of Crocs because it's not a warm shoe. They need things that are warm. I come down and I start seeing more Crocs in the places like Norway. Okay, interesting, I say. You know, and then all of a sudden I arrive in Copenhagen. And as I'm walking through the streets, I notice the Crocs. My wife says to me, though, hey, take a look at that. Those Crocs are not the real Crocs. Those are, you know, knockoffs. I said, really? How do you know? Well, if you look at the back and the banding and the labeling, they're not Crocs. I said, you know, you're right. So I started to take a look a little bit more because this was my thesis on this, right? As Crocs became more and more popular, what would happen was that there'll be knockoffs by countries who are usually involved in making knockoffs. And so it is so. As a matter of fact, if you go to my blog, there's going to be a post coming up. I took some movies about this and on my camera, and I posted it to the site. You'll see that the Crocs are for sale at a significantly lower amount, approximately $10 U.S., per pair of knockoffs, and they're all over the place. They look identical. Why have the original if the knockoffs are almost as good? Now, those people that love Crocs are going to say to me, are you crazy? Crocs are just an incredible material that is odor-eating, and it is comfortable, and there's, you know, the colors are, and the pigmentation and the gibbets and all the things that have... All right, fine, but let's talk about reality for a second here. And the reality is that it is going to cut into the Crocs brand. Sure, there's going to be the ability to buy Crocs throughout Europe shortly. And sure, that should continue to keep the stock moving nicely. But, you know, realize it's an easy thing to knock off. It's not so easy to duplicate a Dell computer. It's not. It has parts inside of it that are significant to it. And yes, now, on the other hand, you say, wait, what are you talking about? I mean, HP has the same computers, Gateway has the same. Yeah, it does. But at the same time, if you are significantly looking for a Dell computer, you have to buy the brand. You can have a knockoff, sure. But again, there's a difference in the specs of a, again, there's difference in the specs of a computer versus a shoe. The second thing that I noticed was that Apple is pretty popular here. A little bit more noticeable was the fact that there was some new machines throughout the city. But again, throughout Russia, you know, HP and Windows is the only thing that you'll see anywhere. There is nothing else that you will see. A little bit more of a play on Apple in Denmark, and then a little bit more in Norway. But overall, what you're finding is that they all agree there that, again, I think probably that the IBMs are the number one, or IBM clones, if you will, or Windows, are the number one computers that are being used here. The other fashion statement that I'll mention to you is, again, the anything U.S. One of the things that was very interesting was the fact that most people are talking about buying U.S. goods because they're so cheap. Realize that as of the time of this podcast, the euro and the pound are at all-time highs as compared to the dollar. That is making U.S. goods extremely, extremely cheap. In a world where things are very, very expensive, they're being gobbled up left and right. And that is one of the main reasons that these companies are doing so well. Retail companies throughout the world that provide goods throughout Europe and the rest of the world are doing so well for those that are based in the U.S. because the dollar is so weak. What happens when the dollar moves around and starts to cycle around the other side? Because we know that it's not going to be like this forever. Right now, the Fed is in a cat and mouse game with interest rates and the housing market and the overall economy. And they've been there forever, but right now they're a bit more against the wall. They just can't move like they want to. So what I'm seeing right now is a time when I find that the time is right for retail, but we need to be very careful because it's not going to last forever. And that's probably why Under Armour has went up so much last week, and we saw some of the stocks, particularly in the retail area, move up. The second thing that we're finding here is the continuation of concern over the leverage buyout or private equity firms, because over and over on the news, we're finding that while it is attractive, there is a concern by many of the EU and many of the economic leaders around Europe as to really the difficulties that they're going to have because of all the debt that's being used, realize something, that the private equity firms are buying firms for such an increased level over the firm's current price. For example, when you see a stock trading at 40 and they go in and they say they're buying it for 80, I mean, you got to scratch your head and say, why is that? They're doing it simply because of this. The latest was the Hilton Hotel chain last week when they said they're buying it for about a 50% or 60% premium over the base price because they can use 80 to 90% leverage at low costs and allow themselves to buy a whole hunk of this company, leverage it up, and probably make a 50 or 60% gain on the earnings because of the leverage. In other words, OPM, or other people's money. They're using other people's money to leverage themselves to, you know, get themselves this benefit. Now, this is great, but I'll tell you something. I'm seeing a tremendous amount of concern, and that's going to lead to some kind of a crackdown on this private equity. And when that happens, this whole thing is going to fall apart. When we see, as I'm traveling in the Herald Tribune, KKR, Colbert, Kravis, and Roberts, is going to be looking for an IPO after the Blackstone, you have to question whether this is peaking at this time. You really do have to question, and you have to look at the Blackstone and realize it's trading at about $30 to $31 as of this podcast. It really hasn't done much after the IPO. What they did was just open it up and allow their money to be accessed, if you will, by the owners and cash out of the product. The other thing that you'll notice in European travel is that one of the camera of choice here, switching around to electronics for a moment, is Canon. You see Nokia and Canon everywhere, just absolutely everywhere. So other than that, I got to tell you, there really hasn't been that many fashion changes. And when I say fashion, I mean really things that people are doing, except for the fact that finally, after many, many years, the internet has arrived in Europe in force. And it is being utilized at extreme levels in all areas. So now I think what you're going to find, and as we are finding, is things like travel. You're going to be able to book online for the Europeans much easier. And we're seeing Expedia and Priceline infiltrate that system. And again, when I say infiltrate, I mean that in a good way. Just an amazing amount of abilities now that are going to be taken on by the Europeans. And then if we have companies that will go multinational in terms of the internet and their ability to sell goods, services, et cetera, via the internet, I think it's going to be an extremely good thing. That's the next phase, I believe, of the growth of Europe. Is going to be internet-based goods. The one caveat is going to be China and some of the Asian Rim, where they don't have as much of credit card acceptance. And what I mean by that is, for the most part, people prefer to pay in cash. And that is not a good recipe for sales on the internet. So when I sum it up and I look at the European trip here and I look at Copenhagen and Norway and I look at what I've seen, I think the number one issue that I'm excited about is the fact that Nokia is a key component, and I think, of the next generation of communications here in Europe. And I'm going to have a bit more again on this on the next podcast and tell you a bit more. But overall, I must tell you that this has been a fabulous, fabulous trip. A lot learned, a tremendous amount seen, just really was able to engulf myself not only in the vacation aspect, but really in understanding, a greater understanding of the Northern European area and how they are progressing in terms of their economies. But overall, you know, I think that what we're going to find is that the continuation of the idea that infrastructure build out, as well as communications and globalization, is a continuing theme that keeps me very, very excited and that maintains a relatively bullish mark on the markets. The one caveat right now is I've been watching throughout the week the Shanghai and China markets, and I got to tell you something, it is way too hot, and we are really looking for a downfall about to happen very, very shortly. So I continue with my discussion about being very cautious, and I think that you use disciplines, you'll be well off. So that's about all I'm going to talk about here from Copenhagen. This is the Disciplined Investor International version signing off, and I hope that you have a great week. I'll be back soon with some really exciting podcasts from Barry Ritholtz and Harry Dent, the great boom ahead, and some great posts on Nokia. So keep a watch and make sure to subscribe to the Disciplined Investor blog and podcast. Have a great day. Have a great week. I'll see you real soon.
The The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.